From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We're glad that you're able to be with us today as we close out another week of broadcasting here on the program. We're returning to Colossians chapter 1 to continue our look at verse 24 and the subject of a faithful and fruitful ministry. But as we do each day, we're commencing with our daily devotional Bible study, which today is taken from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. The theme, if we sin. The text says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. True Christians are painfully aware of their shortcomings. They feel sin with a keenness that ungodly men don't know. That awareness robs them of their joy. It mars their experience of fellowship with God. It destroys their usefulness and service. So, what can we do when we sin? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, teaches us a vital lesson. The free grace of God in Christ has not only provided us with a full forgiveness, but also with a righteous advocate who pleads our cause before God when we sin. We naturally hang our heads in shame when we sin, and we feel that we are so unworthy that we should avoid God's presence. That's a fatal mistake. Lift your eyes into the heavenlies and behold at God's right hand a friend, a champion, an advocate, one who does not forsake his blood-bought people when they fall. As our advocate, Christ agrees that our sin is a breach of divine law and deserves to be punished. However, he goes on to say that he, as our substitute, fully bore all the wrath of God against all our sin. His blood argues that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law and have been justified freely by God's grace. In effect, Christ says, Father, this one has sinned, but you laid that sin on me. You accepted my obedience and sacrifice on this poor sinner's behalf. He is not accepted because of the perfection of his own obedience, but because of the perfection of my obedience. Therefore, Father, restore this one whom you have accepted in me to the joy of fellowship and useful service once again. The Father accepts that plea, and fellowship is restored. The basis of restoration for a believer when he sins is not his emotions. It is not some act of penance. It is the atonement and advocacy of Christ. Then let us penitently confess our sins and look to Christ our advocate to give us the peace and joy of restoration to fellowship. Our thought for the day is taken from Thomas Watson, the Puritan divine. He said, Christ never lost any cause he pleaded.
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer. This week on Let the Bible Speak, we've been looking at Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Indeed, we'll be returning to the passage, God willing, next week and continuing with the following verses. The apostle's great subject here is the work of the gospel ministry. I don't think that there's anything that's more urgently needed in the day in which we live, for preachers and for people, than to look at what Paul is here saying. We're living in a day when the gospel ministry has been devalued, it has been defiled, we have charlatans, we have false gospelers, we have preachers who have become more PR men than ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have people who are theologically aberrant, not to say downright blasphemously heretical. So we need to hear what God the Lord has to say through the apostle on the matter of the gospel ministry. Yesterday we noted that God's people should be fed by the preaching of Christ. And today we want to return to the subject of preaching Christ and the training of the people in that way. And we're going to look at the gospel ministry and see that it's not a personality contest. Underline, it's not a personality contest. It is a stewardship which the minister must execute in submission to a divine appointment. So there's preaching Christ, there's warning, training by word. And then he says there's teaching in all wisdom. That's establishing the people in truth by the exposition of the gospel. Now, says Paul, this is my ministry as a steward. But there is another thought here. This Christian ministry is a divine appointment, and therefore every minister should act according to the dispensation of God. That is, he should act guided by and conditioned by God's appointment, according to verse 25. Now think this through with me. Epaphras was a steward. So was Paul. But the administration that God gave to each was peculiar to each man. Epaphras was certainly not a Paul. His sphere of labor, it seems, was in Colossae. It was in a limited area where Paul was given the apostleship of the whole Gentile world. When God calls a man, he's the one who appoints him to the particular task or type of ministry or whatever it is that he wants him to do. In other words, the Christian ministry is not a personality cult and it's not a competition. Now let's keep that in mind. We need to keep it in mind. I talked to you about my brother who was called to take the position of a very eminent preacher. You'll always get some character who'll come and do this, you know. It's actually not meant to compliment the original preacher. It's simply meant to puff out the chest and say, I am so advanced and I'm so proud. But he came and he said, you know, I grew up under so-and-so's ministry. And the idea was, I know so much that a young fellow like you can't teach me anything. The Lord help his dim little wit. When you turn a position into a personality cult or a competition where it's simply a matter of God giving an administration peculiar to each man according to a divine appointment, then you sin against God. We have three ministers here. Well, now, actually, we have three and a half, because though the second Dr. Barrett has not been called to this church yet, we use him as if he had. And Charlie will let you know that I'm not a bit behind the door telling him, I'd like you to do this, that, or the other thing. And I have to be honest and say he is very, very, very kind and never has any difficulty doing what I need help in. But we have three ministers called in this congregation. And as the three of us have sat and talked many a time, we have noted this. We're all very different. First of all, neither of those two is as good looking as I am, for which they're very, very thankful. If Mike Barrett thought he would wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and see my face, I think he would commit suicide. If I had to look, well, I'm not going to say that. I'll not go there. I'll be kind. Mike is an academic. If I live to be the age of Methuselah, I'll never be accused of that sin. I'll never be an academic. David is the man with the clipboard. He's a man for organization. Me, I'm an Irishman and I just fly by the seat of my pants. We're all different. It's not a competition. There's a dispensation. There's a divine administration. And remember what I said. As long as a man called of God, appointed by God, is fulfilling the ministry that God has given to his hand, according to the word of God, setting forth Christ, preaching, warning, teaching in all wisdom, it is God working. Therefore we can look for fruit. And therefore we bow before that ministry, not the minister. Don't misunderstand me and don't misquote me. You bow before me, you'll get up quicker than you went down. Because that would be folly. Bow before the ministry of God's word and say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Now that's how Paul defined the ministry. And I thought I would get to the end of this first section, but I haven't. I may come back and finish it. On the other hand, I may go on to the mystery, but I may come back and finish it as the Lord would lead. But at this point, I simply want to close by reiterating what it means to me as a minister, what it means to you as the ministered to. I am your servant. When we say that at the end of the service to people inquiring about the way of salvation, we're your servants for Christ's sake. It's not a trite phrase with which to end the service. That's a philosophy of life. Mr. Breen will remember this. Any of the men who were in the theological hall when it was my duty to lecture them will remember this. We used to start at 8:30 every morning. Then we really got very worldly and we became easy in ourselves and we didn't start to 9 o'clock. Of course we went through to 4:30 or 5 o'clock 5 days a week, and we had an hour off for lunch. But when we moved into this church building, it was about 9 o'clock we started with the first lecture. And remember, I used to say to the men, we commence at 9. You be here for 9 o'clock. But I do not promise to be here. If I can be, I will be. But I do not promise to be here. And this will be part of your training. When we had a group of students at a time, I had 5 students at one time, which was certainly a lot at those in those days. And I told them, look, if I'm not here, you get on with your work. You get at it. There's plenty for you to do. But no matter what my plans are, I can get a telephone call. I can have a person in distress. I can have a person in the hospital.
I can have a person who needs counsel. I can have a person in need. And this will be part of your training that you've got to learn as a minister of the gospel. No matter what your plans, people always come before your plans. People always come first. And I used to quote to them what Walt Hanford, who was then the pastor of Southside Baptist, used to say, and I think it was a very wise saying, that if you don't love people, you're not called to be a minister of Christ. You're a servant of man. A servant of man. A servant of the body. But you're a steward of God. You have a divine operation placed in your hand. That's how I've got to look at my ministry. But that's how you've got to look at it too. And as I've already quoted, when this word then is preached, you bow before it. You lift your heart to the Lord. And you say, Lord, speak. And I promise to hear. May the Lord give us Paul's view, both as preacher and people. May the Lord give us Paul's view of the gospel ministry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, bless thy word, and grant that here in this house thou wilt give a faithful and fruitful ministry. O Lord, work in us and through us. May the Holy Spirit very actively and powerfully operate in the ministry of the gospel in this place. And God grant that Christ may thereby be glorified, souls be converted to him, and saints really set ablaze with a full-hearted love for the Savior and service toward the saints. Answer prayer, O God, our Father, we beseech of thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday,
as we let the Bible speak.